at home, at work, or in the car. Nashville's number one way to talk sports. The Sports Station, 104.5, The Zone.
Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. With Paul Kuharsky, I'm Jonathan Hutton. Chad Withrow on furlough. He will be back with us on Tuesday. Some SEC news. The conference will open up campuses on June the 8th. Right in between the dates being discussed, June 1st and June 15th, they will open up in a couple of weeks on June 8th. And with that, we say hello to Dr. Bill Schaffner. From Vanderbilt University's Medical Center, world-renowned infectious disease expert. Doctor, hope you're doing well.
Still vertical. You guys are looking good, so we're mushing on here.
Yes, and the optimism continues. We spoke a couple of weeks ago about the potential to begin the reopening phases and how we might see that come about. And yesterday we saw Governor Lee sign an executive order to allow groups of 50 people or less to participate in social activities. That's another step in the right direction.
It is a step in the right direction, and I hope most of those people wear masks most of the time. We can't forget that this virus is still among us. There are plenty of people that this virus can still infect. We're going to have to live with this virus for a while.
Do you still have the opinion that we're headed in the right direction by reopening Tennessee, keeping in mind that those common sense measures of wearing masks and washing your hands?
So far, so good. What I'm concerned about is the concern about social distancing will erode with time. People will simply become more relaxed, and I'm a little worried about that.
Relaxed in the big social settings?
Yeah, especially in the large social settings. You know, people will naturally start to behave the way they did before COVID. And they want to see family. They want to see friends. It's summertime. They'd like to go out together, gather around the pool, and all sorts of things like that, have parties. And I'm, you know, the virus may be waiting for those groups so it can spread around.
Seeing some mixed reporting, I guess, about what's going on in China and maybe some other places that where the worst is well behind them about things maybe starting to reemerge. What are you hearing? What's the evidence about those places? Are things largely behind them, or are they seeing reemergence?
It's a little bit plus minus, Paul. It depends on the circumstances and how they're opening up. You mentioned China. China is really testing widely and watching for new cases. And as soon as they find any new case, it's as though they were at the beginning of the outbreak. They're case investigating, contact tracing, and instituting quarantine for those people who test positive in the contacts. So they're really jumping on things.
What about the evidence now about the potential to get it a second time? I feel like we've asked you this every other week or so. Where's the evidence stand now on if you've had it, are you immune to it or not?
Looks so far as though that's the case, that once you get it, you're going to be protected. We don't know for how long. You mentioned second cases. That's also confused a little bit with the information that some people who've had it test negative after they're finished and then may have positive tests again. The CDC now believes that 10 days after you have the onset of infection is the extent of your contagiousness. Even if your test is positive after that, those are, if you will, dead soldiers. Those are viral remnants, pieces of the virus that the test is detecting, and not really live virus. So far, that's good. All of this stuff always subject to new information as it comes along.
If it tests for the dead soldier, so to speak, and not a live virus, does it still count as a positive test on the overall chart?
I think at the moment, once you've tested positive, you get locked in once, but those subsequent tests don't count twice.
What have you noticed from Florida, who's been open now for a week, week and a half, 2 weeks? I can't remember the exact date. But the last report I read was there have not been significant spikes in coronavirus there.
You don't hear me talking because I'm holding my breath. Florida, Georgia is another one that's opened up and opened up rather freely, rather quickly. And so far, they have not seen a spike in cases. And so we're just holding tight. You know, we've talked about this before. There may be a seasonal component to this COVID, like influenza. You know, influenza's disappeared. That's another respiratory virus. Could COVID kind of abate, kind of go into a little summer vacation, and then come back in the fall? And so we may be benefiting from that. We don't know that for sure, but it's certainly a lot discussed.
I see. I'm surprised to hear that the states that have reopened haven't seen the spike. I'm sure you are too, based on the fact that the states that remain closed or more restricted continue to see some more positive cases than the ones that have just reopened. From a scientific standpoint, what are the reasons? What are the theories as to why that is?
There are two things. One is we're all a little bit confused, but the other is you have to look at who's being tested. For example, here in Tennessee, our health department is now going to test high-risk groups, people in nursing homes, prisons, and other congregate living facilities. You can bet your bottom dollar we'll find more cases, but that's because we're doing targeted testing. So you have to interpret those data carefully.
Dr. Bill Shafter with us. You can tweet hashtag Dr. Bill, and we'll read your questions to the world-renowned infectious disease expert. The discussion about a second wave happening, that we've been discussing that and it continues to go. I know you have told us that you a month or so ago, you expected to see a second wave. Do you still have that opinion that if we do have a second wave, we're not going to have to come back to the quote unquote lockdown scenarios, even if we have the second wave hit?
So the scientific medical part of it is that all of us in infectious diseases and public health think that come this fall, whatever happens this summer, there will be a resurgence of COVID. We think that along with influenza, that's going to cause us problems. Now, you asked the political question. If that happens, would we lock down again? Just speaking as a simple guy here, I think that's very unlikely. The economic hit has been so severe, I can't imagine us locking down again. We would have to just grit our teeth and work our way through that second wave, trying to flatten the curve once again. But I don't think we're going to lock ourselves up.
Dr. Shafter with us here on the Midday 180. The Washington Post had a story last weekend that now, 4 months into the pandemic, we've reached a point as a country where there are more tests available than the amount of people asking to be tested. What does that signal to you?
It's still kind of spotty out there. The desire for testing here in Tennessee after we opened up testing was initially strong and then got reduced. So most of the people who wanted to be tested took advantage of that. And it's quieted down, and that's now allowing our Department of Health to go into those high-risk communities. There are other parts of the country that are still complaining they don't have testing facilities and the results don't come back quickly enough. So we haven't got all this smoothed out yet.
We'll start hitting a couple questions from our listeners. Chris Davenport wants to know how you feel about Little League ball starting as early as next weekend with practices starting tomorrow.
We're doing all this with fingers crossed, bated breath, and wearing a lot of masks. I mean, this is consistent with opening up. The governor said, okay, groups up to 50. That sounds like Little League ball. Let's be careful. Children are less affected. And of course, now we have that footnote. Oops, this new multi-system inflammatory syndrome can occur. So there's no ollie-ollie in free here. Let's do it carefully. Do a lot of hand hygiene and monitor the kids. We don't want sick kids coming to play. So parents ought to monitor for that very carefully.
The CDC changed the way it describes the spread of the virus on surfaces. It used to state that it may be possible, that's the way they phrased it, to spread COVID-19 on any surface. But now it says the virus does not spread easily on surfaces. And you've told us not to worry all that much in the past about wiping down groceries as you come into the home. But the latest info continues to show that the overwhelming majority of cases don't occur from someone touching a countertop or a steering wheel or a food covering, right?
Perfect. That puts the emphasis exactly where it should be. It's that interpersonal close contact, particularly indoors for more prolonged periods of time. Yes, it's possible to get it from an inanimate object, from surfaces, but that's not a major way of transmission. Interpersonal, those are the big highways of transmission. From surfaces, that's kind of a side street of transmission. Doesn't have the same viral traffic.
Dr. Bill Schaffner with us. More of your questions for Dr. Bill coming up in just a moment. You can still get in the queue by using the hashtag DRBill on Twitter or at Midday180. We'll also say this. The learning curve is steep with the coronavirus because there's something new happening at a very fast pace. We'll get Dr. Schaffner's thoughts on something we know about COVID now that we didn't know last week or a month ago. That's next on the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone.
You know what? They may not be playing the games, but we're still talking sports. The Sports Station, 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. Another segment with Dr. Bill Schaffner as the tweets keep rolling in using the hashtag DRBill. Paul's about to pick up on the first question of the segment, Doctor. But first, the learning curve is steep with this because it's a new strain of coronavirus. What is something we know now about COVID that we did not know a week ago, 2 weeks ago, a month ago?
I think we're more reassured today that inanimate surfaces are less important, but that still doesn't mean we can stop washing our hands. No, we still have to do that. We're learning more about treatment and the varieties of ways this virus can make us sick. So, as you say, we're learning more every day about this.
J.R. Gillette says, two of my friends are physicians, and they both mentioned to me that everything they've learned in their studies indicates a long-term lowering of immune response associated with wearing masks. What's the truth, and is there efficacy to using masks?
Well, masks are very important, Paul, in preventing transmission from one person to another. I wear the mask to protect you. You wear the mask to protect me, so we're all in this together, protecting each other. I know of exactly no data to suggest that wearing masks in any way impairs your immune system. We do it intensely in healthcare all the time.
The Abbott's ID test, the 15-minute point-of-care testing device, had a reported accuracy rate at some point around 85%, but it's since dropped. I know researchers want all diagnostic tests to have accuracy rates of around at least 95%. What's the likelihood, in your experience, of a diagnostic test for a virus improving its accuracy after trial testing has been done, like a drastic improvement?
We'll probably get, and we're in the process of getting, and we already have, as a matter of fact, more accurate tests available. They're not all as quick as that Abbott test is the hook, but other companies and other investigators are coming up with quick and more accurate tests.
Jimmy says, I had COVID back in February. I quarantined for almost a month. Am I still contagious to an extent? I believe he has a relative that he's looking out for, and as things open back up, again, this is well over a month where he's out of quarantine, is there still a chance he's contagious?
So here's what the CDC says, and this also is relatively new. They said, from the time of the onset of your symptoms, count 10 days, and after that, you should not be contagious.
Ricky in West End says there have been 15,487 cases under 60 years old in Tennessee with 48 deaths. That's a 0.2% mortality rate. The assumption is a lot more unknown, diagnosed, asymptomatic in that age group. Would you call for a lockdown still with this information in hand back in March?
I don't call for lockdowns. That's a political thing. But that is, even in that age group, a rather high fatality rate. That's not trivial. There are many more asymptomatic and mildly symptomatic cases than people who need hospitalization and are going to die. And that's true in every age group. But with increasing age, the fatality rate increases. At the moment, all of these things are holding steady as we open up across the country, but everybody's watching the numbers.
Ben asked the question, has there been tests performed on airlines? Is it more likely that it spreads easily or easier via the cabin air by traveling? I guess he's saying the air that's flowing into the cabin itself and then recirculating for the entire flight.
So not specific tests, but we know from other infections related to airlines that you are at greatest risk of the people who are in your same row and two rows in front of you and two rows in back, because the airplane recirculates the air in kind of a loaf of bread fashion. You see all those slices, and it's sequential through the airline. Through the airplane. So if I'm in coach, I don't have to worry so much about what's up in first class, for example.
Caroline says, I'm really anxious to do a couple weekends away this summer. Am I being unrealistic in thinking it's a possibility?
People will be traveling this summer. The trick is to do so carefully. Remember, are you traveling by car? Well, you're nicely isolated. Wear your masks when you're out. Good hand hygiene. And try to avoid large crowds. That's something we're going to be talking about constantly.
Doctor, there are those who see reports and expect the worst. So I'm asking the expert here that's on with us. The fact that Tennessee is now in phase two of the reopening phase, do you feel like we're in a good position to do that based on the data you've read about our state?
Yes. Steady as she goes, that's perfect. A reasonable decision.
Yeah, and that's reassuring hearing that from you directly. Another question about the CDC with not transferring via surfaces as much. Is this a good sign we may not have a phase two of the virus this fall?
It doesn't have anything to do with phase two, because that interpersonal transmission has always happened, will continue to be the major way this virus is transmitted, and we're going to have to guard against that in order to keep the curve flattened down.
Let's stick with that travel topic for a second. Tourism is such a big industry here. It would seem that for our downtown economy to kind of get back to what we need, expect, hope for, it would include a lot of people coming in on these trips that you were just talking about. Does that increase the danger if we've got we've done such a good job here? We don't know what kind of job people have done elsewhere, and then we're potentially inviting people in from all over the place to come into our downtown where, social distanced or not, obviously it would be bringing in people from different areas that have had different success rates.
Of course, that's the big issue. There are parts of Florida that still do not allow tourists to come in from certain states. For just that reason, they continue to be concerned. And there isn't any doubt, Paul, that once people come downtown, they're going to go into bars and restaurants and into stores where they'll be closely intermingling and maintaining social distancing, maintaining mask wear is not going to be easy. So the more we travel amongst ourselves, the risk goes up. The question is, can we manage that risk, opening up our economy again, balancing with the medical side? We're going to be watching this on a week-by-week basis.
Final question for you from Will. I'm getting the antibody test today. If I have them, Would it be safe to be around friends without a mask? We'll still wear to grocery stores and out in public, but specifically friends. I guess he's saying that he's been around friends in the past without a mask. And
yes. Well, we're still a little bit worried about the results of those antibody tests, but let's say you are positive. For sure, you still want to wear the mask going out because the rest of the world doesn't know you're positive, right? And if you're close together with friends and they will tolerate a little bit of risk, sure, you can take off your mask inside.
And correct me if I'm wrong, if you test positive for the antibody test, does that mean you had coronavirus or COVID-19 and you're past the 10-day quarantine phase at that point, like you're not active, so to speak?
Quick answer is yes.
Okay.
Depends a little bit about the kind of antibody, but the general answer to that question is yes, and we think that antibody is associated with protection. It's something we don't know absolutely, but we think it's pretty likely to be protective.
Final question for me. Let's say we're back in the newspaper era where we all get the physical newspaper and we go a weekend without knowing any news. Dr. Bill Schaffner wraps up with us on a Friday and opens the paper up Monday morning. What data are you looking for immediately with this over the weekend with states reopening?
The most important thing is the number of patients admitted to the hospital with diagnosed coronavirus infection. Those data are the hardest. They're the easiest to interpret. If they're flat or going down, I smile. If they start going up, I frown.
Where are we right now on that?
Flat.
Okay.
We're flat.
That's great.
Right. Hey. We're not going down in a sustained way yet, but we're pretty flat.
Thank you so much. We always appreciate the answers that you give to our listeners and to us, of course, and the time that you give to us. We appreciate you.
My pleasure. See you next time, guys.